Would you like to nerd out with the rest of the Nerd Clan? The Mary and Blake store is a good place to start. Do you love Outlander? Do you love the Potterverse or This Is Us? Or all of the inside jokes that we have here at Mary and Blake Media, like Not Great Bob or Horses Not Ponies? Well, we have got them all. So you can actually find the very best nerd swag and favorite products, t-shirts, aprons, hats, galore, mugs. I mean, it doesn't stop. All you need to do is go to themaryandblakestore.com. Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm out on this chapter. I don't think I'm ready to.
How
even
can
talk
you be out
it.
On Aragog?
Aragog.
Thank you, Slughorn. I can't not say it that way. I,
from now on,
Aragog. So good.
No. I can't. I can't even handle a little teeny tiny spider that's like in the shower. Never mind an elephant-sized spider that wants to kill me.
Elephant-sized.
No
like,
way.
Just let that soak in on you. Now, do you think it's elephant-sized, meaning the thorax? Yeah, spiders have thorax, right? It's abdomen?
I don't know
if they have a thorax. Sorry.
Whatevs.
Okay.
Who cares?
But like,
stats
is it just the belly and the head that is elephant-sized and its legs are extra? That's what I'm picturing.
No, the way I take it is the overall size of the whole thing is the size of an elephant.
Picture it my way and then get more freaked
no.
out.
Oh, no.
With like
God,
legs
please,
that could
no.
like span
no.
the sides of our house.
No, Michael. Sorry.
That is what I am talking about. Oh, I love it. All right. So, of course, we are talking about chapter 15, Aragog.
Jim Broadbent is just great.
And you didn't come from the Chamber of Secrets, said Harry, who could feel cold sweat on his forehead. I, said Aragog, clicking angrily. I was not born in the castle. I came from a distant land. A traveler gave me to Hagrid when I was an egg. Hagrid was only a boy, but he cared for me, hidden in a cupboard in the castle, much like Harry Potter, feeding me on scraps from the table, much like Harry Potter. Hagrid is my good friend and a good man. When I was discovered and blamed for the death of a girl, he protected me. I have lived here in the forest ever since, where Hagrid still visits me. He even found me a wife, Mozag. And you see how our family has grown all through Hagrid's goodness. So you never attacked anyone? Asked Harry. Never, croaked the old spider. It would have been my instinct, but out of respect for Hagrid, I have never harmed a human. The body of the girl who was killed was discovered in a bathroom, and I never saw any part of the castle but the cupboard in which I grew up. Our kind like the dark and the quiet.
Ugh. Every time you do that, you know what else I think of, too? I think of The Descent. Remember that? Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That was probably the scariest film I've ever seen.
Yes.
That was ungodly.
So here we go. Loving this quote because we can stand true that my favorite character in the series, Hagrid, did not open the Chamber of Secrets.
Right.
Really pumped to talk about this chapter, even though Blake's not as pumped, but I think it's
no,
quite fun.
No, the chapter's great. I'm out on Aragog.
Oh.
Aragog sucks.
Okay, well, let's use kinder language, okay?
Well,
he is a magical creature.
Smells, okay? He smells.
Acromantula are like, endangered, okay? You don't find them everywhere.
Good. Let's get them on the severely endangered list.
Anyway, before we get into this episode, we would love to welcome you to MaryAndBlake.com, where you can check out all of our podcasts. We tackle tons of different nerddoms and fandoms, whether it's TV or books or movies. And currently coming up, we're going to be having our This Is Us podcast starting again, as well as our Crown podcast. Now, our Crown podcast, yes, an amazing show on Netflix, that is only available to our friends who are our patrons, the people who give from the goodness of their heart to help support our media company at JoinTheNerdClan.com, whereas less than a cup of coffee once per month, you can support this and make sure that Blake and I can keep podcasting all pandemic long. We got you. We're here to bring the Lumos and the Time of Knox. And if you want to support that, head on over to JoinTheNerdClan.com. Let's get into the show.
Just don't click anymore.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
You just had to do it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Had to do it.
So, lots of crazy things are happening. By the way, it's summer. Okay, Hermione was petrified.
What?
Christmas? Or was that?
No, it was after Christmas.
Easter. No.
No.
Valentine's Day.
It was Valentine's Day, because remember, Lockhart had
the party.
Had the party and everything, and it was shortly after the party. So it was like, let's call it March.
Well, anyway. They have been trying to follow spiders since Easter, and it is now summertime. Tensions are getting crazy. McGonagall probably has gone more gray because she's been acting headmistress since Easter.
Mm-hmm.
She needs some time with Madam Hooch, okay? So everybody's freaking out except Draco Malfoy.
All the bourbon.
Draco Malfoy is just throwing shade left and right, having death wishes for Hermione Granger. And finally, Harry and Ron find some spiders, and they're in the Forbidden Forest, where they go out with Fang. They get to meet Aragog. Aragog clears Hagrid's name, as I just said. The magical Fort Anglia saves them. And they start to piece two and two together that a girl was killed in a bathroom. Dun, dun, dun.
So would you say, Mary, that it's at this point the book really starts to follow the same structure that appeared in the Sorcerer's Stone?
Do I think?
Towards the end of the book? Like from this point on. Like, if you remember...
Do you remember?
In the Sorcerer's Stone, in December. I'm not supposed to sing. That's Mary and Blake Commandment.
I'm just ready to do the next sentence.
Go ahead.
No, I don't know what you're going to say. Do you remember in the Sorcerer's Stone? What?
At the end of the book, or towards the end of the book, they start going into the Forbidden Forest. They get information. They come back.
Mm-hmm.
They discover what the issue is. Then they go down into a hidden chamber of Hogwarts to fight off whatever the main antagonist is. And they get help in doing so. And the rest of the story is told. The same exact structure.
Let's be real. If you want to find answers, you got to get out of Hogwarts.
That's true.
You got to get to the Shrieking Shack. Got to get back to the forest mm-hmm. to meet Grop. You got to go out into a labyrinth. You got to jump on some Thestrals and head to the Ministry of Magic. All of the answers are actually not in the place of learning.
No, not at all. Which might be a little bit of a condemnation, perhaps, then, of the learning environment.
I don't know.
Maybe that the real learning environment is
the real world,
not Hogwarts.
Oh, we just got deep with these 12-year-olds.
You know what?
Got deep, guys.
That's right, nerds. I feel like it's just very, very similar, and I want to know your thought on that. Do you think that's by, or at least on purpose, or is coincidence, or...
No, I think it's on purpose, because it's once again showing you that these students have to find things out on their own, not necessarily through adults. You know, there's a lot of this interweaving that, like, adults may not always have the answers, they might not always have their best interests at heart, and that you need to go on your own journey
mm-hmm.
and face sometimes your biggest fears. Mm-hmm. To find the truth.
Rebecca says, just get away from Dumbledore. The answers are out there.
Right.
It reminds me of the X-Files. The truth is out there.
Oh my goodness gracious. So as I said, it's summertime, and Madame Pomfrey has locked the doors to to the hospital wing because she's just afraid that things are going to happen. Dumbledore is still gone, of course.
And that's an important, I think, facet for what we're trying to accomplish, I think, for the rest of this book. Harry is continues down this journey of having everything that he loves and desires and gives him support. And even though it may be from a distance with Dumbledore, it's just one more thing that Harry relies on or takes comfort in that's taken away from him.
Yeah.
And it keeps pushing our main character down this road of you need to be by yourself. The answer has to come from within.
Well, and even more so by himself, because usually Hermione's there, like the voice of reason, you know, the brilliant one who can kind of piece these things together. Mm-hmm. And she's gone. It is interesting, you know, the last time that Harry was in the Forbidden Forest, he didn't have Ron. Ron was in the hospital wing.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I like that. Good one. Nice little mirroring there, Mary.
I got you. I got you.
Wow. We're continuing down this structure path of one of them is missing. And I'm just throwing that out there.
So this chapter, remember how there was a couple of chapters ago, Ernie McMillan, the Hufflepuff, kind of rubbed you the wrong way because he really wasn't treating Harry too well. Well, this chapter, the Puffs get some time back, and they get back into our hearts. But Draco Malfoy, you know, I've given him a lot of leeway in the previous chapters. I've given him a lot of leeway because, you know, this is how he was raised. This is how his parents talked. Draco is getting a little too big for his britches. He is really pumped that the Chamber of Secrets has been opened. Hopes that it still is open. Hopes that the next mudblood dies. Too bad it wasn't Granger. I'm really glad Dumbledore's not here. Maybe you should be the headmaster, Snape.
Yeah.
All of this. And the I wish Hermione Granger had been dead said in front of his class, in front of his professor.
Yeah. Do you think maybe he's putting up this facade? Because remember, we had a conversation about how Lucius was purposely keeping him out of the know with what was happening in terms of the Chamber of Secrets and the diary and not let, he's just sitting there saying, hey, you relax, you wait till the important people do what they're supposed to do and just sit idly by. Do you think Draco is trying to make up for that insignificance really by saying stuff like this, trying to goad people into doing what he wants?
I don't know. You know, I actually see Draco as like one of those super annoying sports fans that their team doesn't win and they just like a...
You mean everybody from Philadelphia?
Or I was going to say Red Sox before the 2000s.
Don't you dare.
No, but the Red Sox fans, you know, they're tough. They're a tough bunch of people, especially while they were under the curse of the Bambino, you know, just down and out. And then the Red Sox won the World Series and they went bananas. Like, they were burning cars. They were just crazy in the streets.
Very true.
Obviously, they were proud before, but their pride has gone to a new level. And I also feel like this is, like, people... I'm going to be careful, so please, chatting people, know that I'm being careful for a reason. People with politics, and you, if you live in an area where you're the odd sheep, okay? So let's say you live in a red area and you're blue, and then finally something good for the blues happened there, and you're like, yeah, suck it, Reds, or vice versa. You know, you see them on the news. You see them on the news.
Oh,
there's jabronis on either side, okay?
Yes,
and that's just what I feel like it is. It's like, yay, something's good for my team, so I'm just going to be absolutely annoying because I haven't been able to be forever.
Right.
Like, Slytherin hasn't won the House Cup the past, you know, last year. So since Draco's been there, Slytherin's been down and out. Slytherin's actually been feeling super down and out because it's the heir of Slytherin that's killing people, petrifying people.
I don't think that they're
listen,
up in arms
about
that.
Listen, there are some good... Good.
I think they're more angry. I think they're more angry about losing the House Cup because Dumbledore gave 50 billion points to Harry for changing his pants.
So it's like, finally, like, now we've got at least something. I mean, that may not be the thing we want, but we got something. And so Draco's just being, but this is too much, Draco.
Yeah, this is a little much, even for me.
Yeah.
This is when I think we actually have... Dare I say turning points for two characters? One, of course, being
Draco,
and the use of his words.
I hope the other one's the one that I want it to be.
I know you know what it is. It's Lockhart.
Oh.
Oh, really? You didn't think so?
You thought that this was a turning point for Lockhart?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because this, well, a turning point in terms of your interpretation of him.
Uh-huh.
He is out saying, I know more than you. I know more
than
you.
Honey, I felt this bad about Lockhart all along. Who are you? Hermione Granger?
I know, but it's now...
It's taken you until summertime?
It's now... Well, of course. My man crush on Gilderoy Lockhart knows no bounds. It knows no bounds.
I was going to say Ron Weasley. Ron Weasley won some of his Gryffindor stripes in this chapter. Ron Weasley, who gets this shaft of all shafts in the movies. He's just like the bro. Ron Weasley...
Yes.
...goes... into a forest, knowingly chasing his greatest fear, meets not only his greatest fear, but an elephant-sized version of it.
Nope.
Because he needs to save his friends.
Please, no!
And because his best friend is saying, please accompany me. He could have just said, Harry, I'm going to sit this one out. I got a stomach ache. Why don't you ask Fred or George? They're fine with spiders. They're fine with them. He does it because he... He needs to.
Sure.
Like
Go ahead.
I mean, we learn in the next book, you know, Harry's greatest fear at that point is Dementors. It'd be like Harry willingly, I mean, he does, like, do these things, but it's just very brave. I mean, for me, it would be like, okay, Mary, we need you to go and take your own blood out. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever I think about that movie where the real thing where the guy had to cut off his own arm because he was stuck, he fell in that rock or whatever.
27 hours, yeah.
I would not have done it, guys. I would have been like, okay, crows, come and get me.
By the way, great movie starring James Franco.
I never could watch it because I could never do that. I could never purposefully like take my own blood. There's no way. I'm making sure that I'm not going to be diabetic because I can't even do that. I couldn't even do that. So much keto.
Oh my
goodness.
No. What I'm getting at is in terms of interpretation from the reader, a turning point. I think for the most part, Lockhart, up until this point, has been kind of a lovable idiot. Like, you know what he is, and you get the idea that he is just this self-absorbed, somewhat moronic, completely unaware of himself person. And that's lovable. That's endearing. It's funny. It's cute. It makes for a good character because
You love him because this is the first time you're reading this book and you love the actor.
No, I do. But what I'm saying is at this point, when Lockhart says to the class, listen, I know more. I flatter myself to say that I know more than you. And the ministry, they wouldn't have come here and taken Hagrid if he didn't actually do this. So trust me, he did. I know more than you. Go away. And I cannot defend that.
Good. Welcome to the party. Whenever I relate myself to a character in the series, it is Book Ron. Big difference. Not Movie Ron. But if I had to be a character in the series, I'm most aligned with Book Ron. I mess up a lot, but I'm a fierce friend, but not as perfect as Cedric Diggory. R.I.P. So I feel like I've... Let's raise a glass. Raise a glass for C. Diggs.
Say it out loud.
Diggory. I knew, like, I just did not like him. I was saying in my head the words that Ron was saying, like, what is this guy about? I hate these kind of people.
What do you mean?
I hate people who know they're pretty. I hate people who, gotcha, like, I'm famous. Isn't that fantastic? Like,
Kim Kardashian.
I don't watch any of, like, those Bravo shows because I just can't take it. We're actually dear friends with someone in college who was that type of person. He was like the hot guy, and I was in his circle, and I would just be like, oh, buddy, like, you need to stop. Like, you need to I'm not into that.
Sure.
And now, of course, he's one of our best friends.
Right. Oops.
No, I wasn't mean to him. I just wasn't worshiping the ground he walked on, like how all these female characters worship the ground of Gilderoy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way,
yes,
our kids have asked that be your Halloween costume.
Gilderoy Lockhart?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm kind of in on that.
We were in the car today, and we were like, what should we be? They've asked me to be Snape. I can totes do it.
You can do that.
I know. I'm going
totally
to,
pull that
and
off.
You should be Lockhart.
I might.
I know.
Free of charge.
My hair is all perfect. I just need to like gunk it up a little bit. I'll do some like male makeup.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll just brood.
Yep.
Oh, I can't wait.
So much brooding.
Yes.
Free of charge.
Oh, their other suggestion
was
that you could be Tom Riddle.
Ooh, I'm in on that.
Right? So you just dress like a Slytherin and carry around a diary.
Yep, I'm in.
I mean,
that's basically me anyway.
One's harder than the other.
So I just get to be me. Okay, great. Awesome. By the way, get all your Halloween Harry Potter shirts at the Mary and Blake store. You're welcome for that. Just check that out. TheMaryandBlakeStore.com. Mm. Don't go spilling stuff on you, Marvin.
Oh, I just love this drink.
So, listen, Lockhart is great, but I think this is a time when you can start seeing, really, as a reader, that he just
really
doesn't
have a thing. I love how long we've talked about Lockhart, and I forgot he was in this bloody chapter. Can we move on from Lockhart and get to the forest?
Here's what I do want to say.
Oh, my gosh. Here's can we at least talk about Ernie McMillan?
Yeah.
And Hannah Abbott?
Actually, yes. Please, go ahead and do so.
Can we have a moment for the Puffs? Because not only do they realize that they did Harry dirty, but they apologize, they shake his hand, and they work with him in herbology. Like, it's not just like, okay, I'm going to act a little cool to him because I messed up. Like, think about that. As a 12-year-old boy saying, I did you wrong, and I'm really, really sorry, and then, like, standing by his side. Mm-hmm. That's pretty outstanding.
At least the Hufflepuffs admit that they're wrong, and they know that they were wrong, especially because, you know, obviously, because Harry would never do anything to Hermione. I'm sad for the Puffs that it took this long for them to make that realization, but finally, at least they did.
This is Ernie's big change, too. I'm pretty sure Ernie has a big, like, he's part of the Dumbledore's army, and he fights at the Battle of Hogwarts. Ernie's a good kid, man.
So, as important as it is, though, that they make amends for what they have said, they fall into the trap, too, though, of just assuming that it's Draco. And I love the opposition, that it's actually Harry who says no. And so fiercely, so strongly, so specifically that they were like, whoa, really?
Okay.
Oh.
And we learn our lesson. Don't start rumors.
Yeah. Right? But it's great that it's Harry, his nemesis, that he is stopping this rumor.
However, Ron wasn't going to let that happen. Ron, of course, jumps on in. It takes Dean Thomas and Harry, because Ron's a brute, to pull him off of him, which I just thought was so incredibly great. Okay. So while they're in herbology, Ron and Harry see these spiders. And they're like, cool, look at the spiders. There they are. And Ron, of course, is freaking out a little bit. And they're like, let's go follow them tonight. This sounds great. Ernie and Hannah are there listening to Ron and Harry just talk about spiders.
I feel like they're like little biddies. They're little biddies. It reminds me
of Ron and Harry?
No. The other two. The other no-names.
Ernie and Hannah. Hufflepuff. They are not no-names.
The Hufflepuff no-names. I feel like they're biddies. They're just craning their necks over the fence, trying to listen.
They're sitting next to him in herbology.
Stay in your own lane.
Oh, my goodness.
Stay in your own lane, Hufflepuff.
Okay, so anyway, they get the invisibility cloak, and I love how Harry's like, we're going to get Fang to take with us. He is used to going into the forest with Hagrid, so he might be some help. Now, I will say, when I watch the movie, Fang added some humor.
Sure.
When I read the book, it's cool that Fang's there, but I don't necessarily understand why we needed Fang.
He doesn't do anything other than be there.
If nothing else, gives these 12-year-olds, though, a little bit more confidence that they're not alone.
And I would say that he does alarm them, much to really to no avail, of something that was big that was coming.
Yeah.
He does let out a large bellowing bark.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. That is all that Fang does. He does nothing else except cower in Hagrid's house when they finally return.
But maybe it's also to give Ron some solace, because Harry's only been into the Forbidden Forest once.
Yep, and Ron has never
Ron's never been, and they're going to be following spiders. So maybe Harry's like, you know what? We'll give you a binky. All right? Fang's my binky.
you know who my binky is?
Lockhart?
Nope, Tom Brady.
Oh.
It's okay. Tom can do no wrong.
It's all good. So, of course, they go in there.
Or Frank in Outlander.
Oh yeah, Frank is your binky.
Frank's totally my binky. Sorry, continue.
No, they meet Aragog, and it's bananas.
I love how they get the car, right? They see the car first. Car. And
it's gone wild.
Something that the author has written here was that you're right, Mary. Ron points out that the forest has made the car wild.
Yes.
But it's not lowercase f, it's capital F, forest. Yeah. So it's not forbidden forest, it's this thing.
It's a proper noun.
It's this thing that exists, it's an entity of its own, mm-hmm. which makes me wonder, first, again, what kind of sentience does the car have, and what kind of magical properties does the forbidden forest contain to manipulate that sort of sentience.
We need a book just on the Forbidden Forest.
Right. Because the Forbidden Forest is this, it's like the cloud. It's a mystery. Nobody understands the cloud.
Where is everything stored?
Yeah, it's just there. It's just, no one knows what it is.
For reals.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is the Forbidden Forest is this otherworldly facet of the wizarding world that seems to exist on its own plane.
Yes.
And because of that, nobody quite knows what's going on in there. And not only that, the forest makes a car wild. Does the forest do it, or does the car, by being in the forest, go wild? Just because it's just doing whatever the heck it wants and it decides, whoa. Or is there something within contained within the forest that makes the car wild?
I don't know. And I feel like this is such amazing unexplored territory that if there were subsequent books, there was the Fantastic Beasts book, which is phenomenal. Maybe there could just be a Forbidden Forest book.
Oh, I would love that.
I have a hiccup. Excuse me.
I would love a Forbidden Forest book because it would be tangential to the world that wouldn't necessarily affect the outcome of Harry Potter.
Yes.
That would be awesome. It'd be part of the Harry Potter DNA. And I like that. I think that's awesome.
So Aragog breaks the news to them that Hagrid, in fact, is not the person who opened the Chamber of Secrets, that he knows what opened the Chamber of Secrets, but he's not going to tell them because he hasn't even told Hagrid. He's so afraid of saying the name. Like, they fear this creature above all else, mm-hmm. spiders do. So they're about to eat them, though, because he's got this big old family of spiders.
One thing that you mentioned is that they don't name the creature.
Yes.
And that, to me, is obviously a mirror of what wizards do with Voldemort's name.
Yes.
They refuse to name or refuse, excuse me, to speak his name, except for Harry and Dumbledore, who aren't necessarily afraid of Voldemort.
Yeah.
That also begs a question. Does naming something make it more real? Does naming something make you more vulnerable?
Fear of a name only increases fear of itself.
Sure.
Fear
sure.
of the thing itself, yes.
But the unique thing I think about this is that the spiders refuse to name what we now know as the basilisk. But even though the Forbidden Forest is this other, it's the cloud, they too are still subject to the feelings and fears and relative rules that the wizards are subject to. So it's still, that reminds you that this is part of, it's still part of the world that we know and love.
Yeah.
It's not just this astral plane of forbidden forest cloud love.
Magic. Speaking of magic, that magical car comes and saves them. So not only is it able to drive by itself and do all these things, but it like knows, oh my goodness, these kids are in need, and it comes to get them. And I just love how Harry says, "Get Fang," Harry yelled, diving into the front seat. Ron seized the boarhound around the middle and threw him, yelping, into the back of the car. Ron! Strong, Ron!
That's like mom strength.
Like, Fang from the movie.
Yeah, right.
That is mom strength.
It is absolute mom strength.
That's because Ron was scared out of his mind. He'll do whatever it takes to get away from these spiders. So they go off and...
What do you think about the car just showing up out of nowhere?
Love it. I love that car. It's like a character.
No, I know. It totally is a character. It absolutely is a character. It has its own sentience. How could it not be? But it just feels cheap that the car just shows up.
Anyway, I'm moving on because I love the Fort Anglia.
Fine, fair enough.
So they go back to the school. The car stops, and then they were nearly thrown into the windshield. Fang flung himself at the window in his anxiety to try to get out. So this is like, so they get all off, and Fang runs home. And then poor Ron is violently vomiting.
Sick.
Because of fear.
Yeah, I would too. Especially, you know, when they all of a sudden they're walking and then they're just hanging. And then these things are the things like they're just hanging. No yep. way, dude. No. Mm-mm. Out. Way out.
And Ron's pretty upset. He's like, why did we go in there? You know, like, follow the spiders. I'll never forgive Hagrid. We're lucky to be alive. You know, this is Hagrid's problem. He always thinks monsters aren't as bad as they're made out. And look at where it's got him, a cell in Azkaban. What was the point of sending us in there? What have we found out? I'd like to know. And Harry says that Hagrid never opened the Chamber of Secrets, and uh-huh. he was innocent. And Ron gives a loud snort.
But it's at this point where Harry, I think, would you say, Mary, that Harry is at his lowest in the book? As soon as he's sitting out there and he's looking out at the moon, he's at the lowest part of, I think, his world.
I never
Hogwarts.
Thought of it that way. See, I would have thought that it was before, like when everyone really thought he was the heir to Slytherin.
Right.
And everyone is against him. At least now they don't think he's the heir to Slytherin. But he doesn't have Dumbledore. He doesn't have Hagrid.
Right, right. Actually, the way that it's written here is fantastic. Harry swung his legs up onto his bed and leaned back against his pillows, watching the moon glinting at him through the tower window. He couldn't see what else they could do. They had hit a dead end everywhere. Riddle had caught the wrong person. The heir of Slytherin had got off. And no one could tell whether it was the same person or a different one. Who had opened the chamber this time? There was nobody else to ask. Harry lay down, still thinking about what Aragog said. There's no Dumbledore.
Yep.
No Hermione.
Yep.
There are no leads. No Tom Riddle. No diary. Ron is sleeping on his own
again,
bed.
That's why I'm Ron. Ron falls asleep right away.
Right away. He eats and falls asleep.
I'm telling you, whenever I read these books, I'm like, I am Ron Weasley.
I think you are.
I know.
But, so would you agree that he is at his lowest point so far between both books that we've read?
I don't know about that, man. I don't know. I do not know. That's a lot for me to try to digest. I feel like he's very low when he's with the Dursleys.
Right, but he has the hope of Hogwarts.
You're right. Now Hogwarts might be closed. Okay,
Hogwarts seems...
I'll sign off. You're right.
Yeah, I think this is his lowest point. But...
He has a stroke of genius.
At his lowest point, remember what we said at the beginning of this podcast?
I don't.
Harry had to find the answer within himself. And he finally does. Harry is at his lowest. He finds the answer through his own intuition. No Hermione, no Ron, no Dumbledore, nobody else to help him except himself. And he figures it out. Moaning, fracking, Myrtle.
You want to know why? Because he's Harry freaking Potter.
Yes.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
Yep. That's right. I find that poetic. That Agreed. At his lowest point, he finally finds it within himself to figure the mystery out. Well, at least begin... Nothing's being given to him. He is done
it
himself.
He figures out the game-changing piece that's going to help him put it together.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, on that note, here's a question for you, fellow listeners.
Sure.
How long have you had your mascara?
Oh, that's a great question.
Right? Have you had it since, I don't know, before the pandemic really hit? Because if so, it needs to go, okay? You're actually supposed to switch your mascara every 3 months. That's once a season. So guess what? You're going to probably need one now, and then you're going to need one when 2021 hits,
yep.
All right? And I'm your girl. My mascaras are thebomb.com. They nourish your lashes, they curl and separate, and I've got all different types for you to choose from. You can find out more at minutewithmary.com.
Time to get in the different perspective, Marvin. You ready?
Yes,
Do you got one or you want me to do it?
I mean, I feel like you're ready.
No, I'll do whatever you want.
Were you
going to
be like Gilderoy Lockhart?
No.
I kind of feel like you were.
No, I was going to be someone else.
Go and do it.
All right.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
You always mouth it. You're always silently mouthing.
That's the idea.
Lines.
That's the whole point.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was a thing. I just thought that this was one of your
because normally the camera's on me and I'm saying, and you, it doesn't matter.
Oh, so was I supposed to mouth it?
Yes,
and,
generally.
And you are.
And you are.
Okay.
I am Aragog.
Oh.
I'm Aragog.
You are your least favorite creature in the world, Blake.
I'm confronting my fear.
You are like I'm Ron at my Weasley right now.
I'm at my lowest point like Harry. Mm-hmm. I'm confronting my fear like Ron. We're living in the world together, man. Okay. We're going to have some fun with this.
Hi, Aragog.
First of all, I'm a spider. I suck because spiders suck. But that's
literally.
Just,
yeah. Oh!
Oh!
That's what she said.
All right. So listen, I'm sleeping. I got people around me. I got my fellow spiders around
me. I can't see nothing.
I'm blind. I'm just like roaming around. And all of a sudden, I hear that there's people in here. Yeah, kill them. I don't care who they are. I don't want nothing to do with them.
But they're Hagrid's friends.
So I gotta say something, right? I gotta. And here they are telling me that I'm the freaking thing in the Chamber of Secrets. It ain't me. Why is everybody gonna blame me?
You know who Aragog kind of reminded me of? Me.
What?
Reminds me of me at 4:30 in the afternoon. Mom, I'm hungry. Where's my snack? Oh, I have zero patience by this point.
Ooh.
I'm making you dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can't see straight by this point. I feel like there's a million of you at this time because that's all I hear. It's like surround sound. I'm hungry. And finally, they find snacks on their own.
Just somehow, by a miracle.
Let me tell you, COVID has an extra thing that's happened. It's made kids eat like three times as many snacks.
Yeah, I know.
My snack budget, it's gone.
Our whole budget is gone.
Done.
The whole thing.
Can I have another cheese stick? You know where they are. Just go.
They got to the point where they're just eating crumbs off the floor.
And that's what Aragog is. You know, he's got, what, a million kids?
Yeah, I got 50 million kids buzzing around me, asking me for snacks.
I'm hungry. Good. Look at you. What's our magic word, Blake?
You can do it yourself.
So that's what he said. He said, little spider munchkins, little ones, go out and find your own food. I'm blind.
I feel like you've usurped my...
Good.
My perspective.
Sorry.
No,
but,
you know what? You go.
Okay.
You do it.
So the ones that caught them, they were super pumped. And then there was this little fast one. He was like the Tiny Tim. Blake, you just hit something and now the video's gone.
Hold on. There we are.
There we go. And like the littlest one who couldn't carry Harry, Ron, or Fang scampered along very quickly. Dad. What? I was sleeping. Get some food. Oh my, I think it's food. I don't really know how to eat this. Dad, I'm hungry. Just eat it. Try it. And if it tastes good, keep going. Dad, you gotta see it. I can't see. Where's your mother?
Ask your mother. But she ain't around no more. I don't know. I'm just saying that, you know what? Just kill him.
He's lucky he's alive.
Here's your food. Go get it.
Oftentimes female spiders.
I know. They give them. Or is that spiders or is that praying mantises?
Both.
Praying mantises.
Both.
They whew,
you watch out.
They give the husband the business.
Yeah,
no, I was afraid today. I'm not going to lie.
Today?
Yeah, today. Yesterday. Past number of days.
Oh, I know.
Past number of days, I've been off. I mean, I've just been in my own corner trying to do the best that I can.
Mom. So, that's Aragog.
Yeah. If I'm Aragog, just kill all the humans. Just get them done. I've been sitting out here in this forbidden forest for God knows how long. And I want my kids to get the hell away from me. And I want my kids to just do their own thing, kill the humans. While we're at it, why don't we just go over there? I don't care if you're Hagrid's friend. You're nothing to me. And I, you shouldn't have had a trail to begin with.
I was just following it.
I know, but yeah, but you shouldn't
I'm
have
Harry,
been here.
I'm Harry Potter. I put my glasses on. I was just following it.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
Meet me.
So fine, that's it. No, because your perspective was much better than mine. So I'm glad you
P.S.
usurped it. What?
Where are the centaurs?
Right. Where's a unicorn when you need them?
I mean, they've stayed far away. They got the memo. Do not hang out in this forest.
Rebecca says maybe Aragog wants a nap. You know what Aragog needs?
Melatonin
and bags
Doritos.
Of Doritos. get your melatonin bag of Doritos shirt at Mary and Blake's store. Yeah, he needs some time. He needs some time. Maybe get a spa. Do a spa.
Goodness gracious, I love you.
Can spiders get manicures? Can they do pedicures?
Probably. They have
maybe eight. They got to get a haircut because he's all hairy.
You need to trim on that. I mean, a tip on that. On that note, let's head on over to our email and questions.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, so no emails for today, but that's okay if you are listening to this on the podcast app and you're not joining us live and you do have questions about what we have said or things that you want to get further clarification on or just, you know, just cool stuff that you want to talk about in terms of the Harry Potter universe, please email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
Yes.
And we will mention you and read your email next episode or whenever you send it to us.
Nice.
So that is that. But though, for those of you who are watching live, this is now your opportunity in the chat to give us a question. And what do you have to put in front of the question, Mary?
A lightning bolt emoji.
That's right. If you do that, then we will know that it is a question and we can engage with you. So, do we have any questions? That's the real thing. I saw one earlier.
You did?
I did. I know I did.
Good for you.
I know I did.
I didn't see it. I can't see a thing. I need to get new glasses.
You're like, I think you're taking your Aragog perspective a little too seriously. You can't see a thing. I'm not seeing any. No questions
okay.
So far.
It's okay, man.
No questions so far.
It's all good.
Here we go. Anna says, sorry. What's worse all, the lively Aragog that wants to go after Hagrid's friends with the rest of his family, or the upside down dead where one, they have a mini funeral and Harry does that funny thing Blake just mimicked with the teeth?
The pincers.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's see. Suzanne says, what's Aragog's wife's name?
Mozag.
Mozag. Aragog and Mozag. They just sound evil.
Yeah, man.
They're
acromantula.
I feel like
they are 5 stars. They're like they're level 5, which is the worst level in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Sure,
they're the, like along with the most deadly.
Say it with me now, everybody. Stats are for nerds.
Blake, Caitlin asks, would you rather face down Aragog or Shelob from The Lord of the Rings? Is that even how you say it?
I
don't know how to pronounce it.
You're right. Neither. I would just die. I would jump off the cliff. I would do anything.
Well.
I would not do well. No. Dude, when hashtag spoilers, when Frodo gets jabbed with a thing and and he's like, no.
All set. Mm-mm.
And he wakes up with all the spider webs on him and everything. He's all like wrapped up. Dude, if I run into one spider web, I freak out. I can't do spider webs.
Yeah. Blake, would you prefer Samwise or Ron?
Oh, thank God you didn't ask me about Frodo, because Frodo smells.
Okay. Samwise or Ron?
I'm going to say Samwise.
Me too.
Because Ron does abandon the trio at one point. And Samwise
does too.
Samwise does too, but it's different. You can tell that it's different. And I feel like Samwise is a little bit more useful than Ron.
Samwise can cook. Ron, granted, has his wizard knowledge, but let's be real.
Yeah.
He's not good at spells right now. It's his wand's broken half the time. Yeah, I feel like Samwise would like help don your socks and would help you.
I like the fact when Ron's like, yeah, I would do Lumos too, but it'd probably blow up because his wand is all broken and he wouldn't be able to do it. Okay, let's see. Brittany asks, did you guys know that the crummy Christmas presents the Dursleys sent to Harry represent the Deathly Hallows?
I did not know that.
A 50 pence piece for the Resurrection Stone, a toothpick for the Elder Wand, and like a tissue or something for the Invisibility Cloak.
I did not know that.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. That is some good nerd stuff right there.
Nerd!
Awesome job. Wendy asks, what are the Weasleys doing for a car right now?
They're not. So their kids are at school.
Yes.
And Mr. and Mrs. Weasley can apparate.
Yes. And they're wizards, so they can also go on their brooms.
Yeah.
And they can do, they got 40 million things. They don't need it. I feel like the car is one of those things that like you show your friends.
Yes.
Like, oh, look at my car.
Cool. They had a lot of luggage, so it was like, you know, and the kids couldn't operate, so it'd be a lot to go through the fireplace. And let's be real, they don't want to take Harry through flu powder again after what happened.
Caitlin says potatoes. Let's see.
So I feel really good. Thank you guys for sending over these questions. On that note, we're ready to close out the show.
Yeah, let's do it, shall we?
Yes.
Let's get her done.
On Monday, of course, we're going to be tackling Chapter 16, The Chamber of Secrets.
We're getting down to it, ladies and gents.
We are. Blake, hold on tight, Spider Monkey, because you're going to get yourself some Gilderoy Lockhart, some, you know, just time with Ron and broken wands. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So thank you, all of you who are tuning in week after week. Remember, one of the best things that you can do for this podcast is, if it brings you joy, to head on over to your podcast app and write us a review. Five yes. stars, write us a review. It will help other people who are looking for a little bit of Lumos in this time of Nux to find the Potterverse.
And of course, as always, if you want to become an official member at the Nerd Clan, go to jointhenerdclan.com, where you can get all really cool things that members that who are not there don't get. You get specific awesome bonus podcast episodes, free swag, insider stuff in the studio from Mary and I. You get our access to our show notes, early access to podcasts. Where, man, you get so many cool benefits over there. Wish I was a member of jointhenerdclan.com.
Oh, luckily you run it.
Luckily,
so
I'm not only am I a member, Mary, I'm the president.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Who are you? Gilderoy Lockhart. Well, on that, my friends, thank you so much once again for tuning in. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.